Our text today is from the second chapter of Acts. The words will not appear on the screen, so those of you who want to look them up in your Bible may do so now. The setting is Jerusalem. It is 50 days since the Jewish feast of Passover, which Jesus celebrated with his disciples shortly before his crucifixion. The days have passed. The sun has shone. The rain has shined. The rain has fallen. And the wheat crop has ripened to harvest. And it is time for another Jewish festival, the festival of Shavuot, called Pentecost in Greek. It is the feast of the first fruits. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we hear all these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God is doing." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles, and he shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you have been assuming. It is only 9 in the morning. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. God says, 'In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before the great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
It's time for our children ages 3 to 3rd grade to be dismissed to Roots. They can exit at the front of the auditorium here and to the left. Let's sing them out. Blue skies and rainbows and
what a blessed day. It has been a week of mixed emotions. For some, you have seen graduates graduate. For some, like Stephen, you graduated, got his master's this week. We were mesmerized yesterday, most of us, or I'm assuming most of us, by a royal wedding. I started watching just before 6 and was amazed at the British shaking service that it was. And the stirring sermon on love, that's the kind of sermon that a preacher says, I wish I had said that. Then we had the Santa Fe massacre. We had Layla's baptism. And thrown in this week, I got a copy of Reggie Hiller's report on what she's doing in Vienna, and it is absolutely amazing that the numbers of basically Muslim immigrants that are coming to Jesus because of her ministry. It has been a mixed week. Well, today is Pentecost. A lot of the Sundays we celebrate in the liturgical calendar are just kind of emphasis weeks. We don't know when things happen, but they put them in some sort of order so that we go through the year. Pentecost, we got a date. We got a date. Because it's based on Passover. And Passover is the first full moon in, well, let's put it this way. March the 20th is the equinox. And it's the first full moon after March the 20th. So you can come up with a date for the Passover celebration, which is usually a week long. And then, as Kay explained, the word Pentecost is simply a anglicized Greek word that means 50. So 50 days later, we have Pentecost. Passover is usually a Sabbath. Pentecost is a Sunday. And in the Jewish theology, Passover is the day when Israel and God got engaged. He says, come follow me. Let's leave Egypt. I'll take you away. They go into the desert, and at Sinai, 50 days later, they exchange vows. We call part of those vows the Ten Commandments. But it's at Pentecost that Israel and God marry. We have, as Churches of Christ, celebrated Pentecost for years. We just celebrate it every Sunday. Because we talk about the baptism of the 3,000 that took place on Pentecost. But there's so much more than that. We talk about Pentecost as the birthday of the church, which it is, but I think we lose power sometimes when we say that. Because we tend to think of buildings and structure and tradition when we talk about church, and it's the beginning of the church. Pentecost didn't take place in a church building. And the 3,000 that were baptized didn't respond to a powerful sermon. This is in the temple. This is in the midst of a Jewish celebration. And everything that's going on is unique. It's unheard of. It's unfathomable by a lot of people. So let's take that and put it on the shelf a minute and get some background to help understand this. Luke writes 2 books, Luke and Acts. And I think Luke writes Luke Acts to be 2 parallel documents telling the same story twice. And the star in this story, the key figure in this story, is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that drives the action. Now, eventually the Holy Spirit fills Jesus, and we see Jesus doing a lot of things, but it keeps saying, by the Spirit, Jesus is doing these things. It's the Holy Spirit that's making all of this happen. We start at the opening of the Gospel of Luke. God comes through a messenger to an elderly, childless Jewish priest and says, your wife's going to have a kid and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's going to speak with the power of Elijah. Now, very few people in the Old Testament receive the Holy Spirit. So when somebody comes to you and says, your child is going to be full of the Holy Spirit, that's a wow moment. That's something that may not have happened for hundreds of years. And then that messenger goes to a teenage girl named Mary. And she says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit is the power of the Most High. And He is going to take over Mary and she is going to have a child. And then Mary meets her cousin Elizabeth, who's pregnant with John the Baptist. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And she testifies about Mary, you're going to have the Lord. That's not just a baby, it's the Lord. And when the infant John is born, his father, filled with the Holy Spirit, proclaims the glory of God and spoke of his salvation. When the baby Jesus is 8 days old, he goes to the temple for the traditional naming and presentation ceremony. And Simeon, a man full of the Holy Spirit, in this crowd of people in the temple, sees the baby, sees his parents, goes and speaks to them and blesses them and says to the world, this is the Son of God, salvation. Now, we've heard these stories for years. There's nothing new there. But do we fathom the enormity of what's going on? We've had Elijah, we've had Elisha, we've had key characters in the Old Testament that were full of the Spirit of God. But suddenly, we've got a woman, we've got a young girl, we have babies, we have the Holy Spirit's everywhere. And everywhere the Spirit is, He's proclaiming Jesus is the Son of God. Well, Jesus comes of age. He goes out to be baptized by John. And the Spirit comes in bodily form like a dove. And God speaks and says, this is my Son. God's testifying to who He is. And then Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And arising above that temptation, He goes to Galilee filled with the Spirit, and He goes into the synagogue at Nazareth and opens the scroll to read and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. God is transforming the world, and His Spirit is involved in all of these different people and things making this change. And then that begins in the ministry of Jesus, a series of spiritual warfare. You look at Luke, you know, over and over again, it's Jesus versus evil spirits, demonic spirits, a demon who's possessed somebody. And Jesus casts those out. He heals those people. He calls a group of 12 to be around Him, to continue His ministry. He's trained them. He's mentored them. And He gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases and sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. He gives them that same Spirit, power, and responsibility of proclamation. And later He does it to a wider circle of 70. And as the Gospel of Luke ends, Jesus tells His followers, this is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things. And see, I'm sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. And that's exactly where Acts picks up. Acts says they've done what they were told. They went to the city. They're awaiting this power from on high. But we've seen the Spirit start to a priest and his wife, and then to others, and then to others, and then to others. The Spirit is alive and at work. Acts opens. In the first 8 verses, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 3 times as He's credited with the instruction of the apostles and a reminder of that gift that was going to come. And then in chapter 2, we have the passage that Kay read this morning. The Spirit does come to the followers gathered that Pentecost morning, possibly the 120 that was mentioned in the previous chapter. And this begins the explanation that she read about and the sermon. Why all these names that you stumble over? And she didn't. But that we stumble over? Into all the world. We're introduced right there in chapter 2 with the world to which this proclamation of Jesus is going to go. And these people scratch their heads saying, we're hearing about God in our language. All of this causes a stir in Jerusalem. They say, oh, they're drunk. You don't speak in other languages when you're drunk. They talk about, they preach about salvation and repentance. Peter in chapter 4, arrested for disorderly conduct, but filled with the Spirit, he responds by preaching him a sermon. They release him, and fellow believers are filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. And as we continue through Acts, the Spirit is repeatedly connected with the proclamation of the Word of God and boldness. The next example, Stephen. Stephen has just preached a moving sermon. He's about to be stoned to death. And the Spirit in Stephen causes him to see a vision of God and Jesus in heaven supporting him even as he dies. This is followed by spiritual warfare in the book of Acts. You see the same kind of spiritual warfare that we saw back in Luke. You see the disciples now casting out demons. You see the disciples now healing people. And I could probably read some stories of healing and the stories of casting out demons to you and leave the names out. And you would say, did Jesus do this or did the disciples do this? Did Peter do this? Did Paul do this? Who did this? The Holy Spirit did this, working through His people. And one of the prominent things that we see throughout the book of Acts is the spread of salvation of Jesus to all mankind. We see it in the prophecy. We see it in the many tongues being spoken. At first it appears that all the people are Hebrew speakers. And we see in Acts chapter 6, they're selecting 7 men because the Greek-speaking widows are being neglected. What they're saying is the Greek-speaking believers aren't considered on a par with the Jewish-speaking believers. So they got to incorporate them. And who do they pick? Seven men full of the Holy Spirit. We never see them taking care of widows. They're out there proclaiming the word, Stephen being one of them, Philip being another. Philip goes to Samaria, the dreaded Samaritans that you'd walk miles not to have to go past. The Spirit pushes the gospel into the Samaritans. And then the Spirit intervenes with Philip and says, go talk to this unclean African eunuch and tell him about Jesus, which he does. And then it just keeps going. The Jerusalem Council, you read that in Acts 15, it's led by the Holy Spirit. It seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And then you go up to Antioch and they're going to send Paul and Barnabas out. And the Holy Spirit is the one who chooses them to begin their missionary journeys. And you follow Paul and he wants to go somewhere and the Spirit says, nope, I want you in Philippi. And so he goes over into Asia and teaches them and eventually ends up in Rome. When you read the book of Acts, you see the Holy Spirit forcing the church where it doesn't want to go. Forcing believers to take the gospel to people they didn't think should get the gospel. It's the Holy Spirit driving it all. And we come back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 that Kay read to us is just kind of an outline of the book. It's Pentecost. It's about 10 days after Jesus ascended to heaven. The believers are gathered in Jerusalem. They're waiting. They're waiting for the royal wedding to begin. It's time for the new age of bold proclamation to start. The Holy Spirit tears their lives apart with a tornadic introduction. He fills them and he causes them to speak of the salvation of God. There's an emphasis here on division and on tongues. And I don't think that's accidental. The work of the Spirit is to proclaim the reign of God to a divided world. And it results in division between those who believe and those who don't. The unbelievers immediately see the difference. They say they're drunk. It brings them back to Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall dream dreams. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on your slaves, men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit and they will prophesy. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All flesh. All flesh. Sons and daughters, young and old, slave and free. And they're all speaking. They're prophesying. They're proclaiming. They're dreaming of what can be. And that tends to have the idea of inspired vision. Pentecost was the day when 3,000 normal men and women, farmers, bakers, housewives, servants, teachers, folks just like us, were given the power of God. It's not John the Baptist or Mary, or the apostles, or the 70, or the prophets of old that we venerate and say, oh, how great they were, filled with the Spirit. It's Martha. It's Pat. It's Dorian. It's Robert. It's Susan. It's Neil. It's Betty. It's Sarah. It's Ellery. It's Winola. Everyone, rich or poor, male or female, citizen or alien, young or old, who accepts Jesus as Lord, is given the Holy Spirit, the power of God. No longer is the Holy Spirit just working through selected prophets like Elijah. He wants to proclaim Jesus through Bernadine. No longer was it John the Baptist, the only one to say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Glenn can do that. Stephen is not the only one who stands before a disbelieving crowd and talks of Jesus. Keyshawn can do it. Layla can do it. Acts 2 says, you are the person that God gives His power to transform the world. If you found what you think is the best restaurant in Houston, I bet you've told somebody about it. It may be on your Facebook page. If gasoline were to be 10 cents a gallon at a station up here all day today, how long would it take for that information to get among us? It'd take a lot longer to get the gas. The line would be miles long. But the news would spread. Some of you saw Hamilton and thought it was just a wonderful play. And I bet you told somebody about it. So why is it that when we have received the absolute greatest gift in this world and the next, we're embarrassed to talk about it? Are we quenching the Spirit of God? The Holy Spirit gives us a variety of gifts. Numerous passages talk about that diversity of gifts. Some of you are a lot better at some things than others. But together, we are the body of Christ. We are doing what Christ did. So that the works of Acts are the works of Luke. And the works of this church are the works of Jesus. Testifying to the world, Jesus is Lord. I think there's a significance in Jesus dying and being raised on engagement day. Now the Holy Spirit is given like a ring to us on wedding day. As we exchange our vows, as we pledge ourselves to Jesus the Christ. This morning we witnessed a baptism. Amen. Baptism and the giving of the Holy Spirit go hand in hand throughout Acts. Just look at all those passages. Some of you may not have ever been baptized. I want you to think about it. Are you willing to give yourself? That's a big deal. Give yourself to God and let His power then come upon you to be His person, to do His work on this earth. If you would like to be baptized like you saw Layla baptized, let one of us know. All of us, baptized into Christ, have the Holy Spirit of God to do anything He wants us to do.